Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Welcome back to the Brian Lehrer Show. I'm Sarah Gonzalez in for Brian. Olympic commentators, they just keep making mistakes about how they talk about women Olympians and their accomplishments. We're talking about Olympic-level sexism here. Listeners, have you been watching the Olympics? Have you heard some of the sexist comments? Maybe you're watching with your daughters or your sons. What do you think about this? Give us a call, 212-433-WNYC. That's 212-433-9692. Joining me to talk about criticisms of the media coverage of the Olympics, including complaints of sexism, are Gabrielle Moss, Associate Lifestyle Editor at Bustle, and Mike Pesca, host of Slate's podcast, The Gist. Gabrielle, Mike, thank you for joining me.
Thank you for having me.
You're welcome.
So I want to start with this clip. It's from a Fox News show called Sports Court, and this is Bo Deedle. He's a former NYPD detective and now a media personality. And here he is making the case for why women Olympians should wear makeup.
Why should I have to look at some chick's zits? Why not a little blush on her lips and cover those zits? I'd like to see a person that wins that gold medal go up there and look beautiful.
For the record, you don't put blush on your lips. You put them on your cheeks. Gabrielle, you're making faces. What do you think of that comment?
I mean, you know, I think that comment kind of goes above and beyond sort of the, I think a lot of the sexism we've seen in commenting about the Olympics has been kind of accidental, whereas that seemed very purposeful.
Right. This is sort of the extreme version of some of the comments that we're going to talk about. Mike Pesca, you've been watching the Olympics closely. Does the way that sports commentators talk about women athletes, does it really stand out to you as being different from the way they talk about male athletes?
Sometimes, but let me just say that Bo Deedle has established himself to be a horse's ass in the media's eyes for 12, 15 years. That's his role, going back to the Imus in the Morning show when he and Steak Shapiro would hold forth on all manner of stuff that they didn't know anything about. So I do think that there's a little bit of, we could pluck someone saying something stupid, and he's obviously saying something stupid, and make a huge deal of it. But I think the big thing going on is that the Olympics are mediated through one network, NBC, and we get to know these competitors kind of in a real superficial, surfacey way, except for one or two people. And often the easiest way for them to sell competitors is to fall back on tropes, on shorthand, and more often than not, well, I shouldn't say more often than not, but too often, some of those tropes include sexism.
And I will say, and in Bo Deedle's defense, that he also goes on to say that some of the men, male Olympians, should also wear makeup.
That's indefensible also, by the way.
But Mike, what are some of the sexist moments, or maybe moments that were verging on sexism, that stand out to you?
I think the biggest one, there are a couple of offhanded comments that can either be seen. For instance, there was the English questioner who asked Andy Murray, "You're the first person to win two goals," and Murray pointed out, Serena Williams did it.
Venus.
Yeah, and Venus. That could be a slip of the tongue. He could have meant man. I mean, people make mistakes. I don't know that this is such, you know, overt sexism. But the treatment of the Hungarian swimmer, Katrinka Hosu, and her husband as being sort of the Svengali behind her rise I could understand why that would stick in the craw of someone who would rightly point out there's one woman in the pool and there's one dude on the pool deck cheering on the woman, you know, who should really be given credit for her rise. But it's complicated for a couple reasons. One is there are a lot of doping allegations around her, and allegations aren't proof, but we don't know, you know, how clean her story is or what should be given credit to her rise. And the other thing is, you know, there are equivalents where when a coach is an interesting and compelling figure and demands attention, attention is paid. So the South African 400-meter runner has a coach who's a 74-year-old, I think. Actually, she's a great-grandmother, and much attention was paid to her, too. And, you know, the Carolis get a lot of attention. So there are a couple coaches who stand out, and when this one swimmer's husband is this, you know, tattooed kind of aggressive guy, things were said that probably weren't in the best practices of the anti-sexism handbook, but I understand why, you know, announcers pay attention to the guy.
And we have a clip, speaking of Katinka Hazoo, this is a clip after she won, she knew that she was winning the gold medal. The camera sort of pans to her husband, and this is what the NBC commentator said.
And there's the guy responsible for turning Katinka Hosu, his wife, into a whole different swimmer.
Gabriel, so there's the guy responsible for turning Katinka, his wife, into a whole different swimmer. Gabrielle, what are your thoughts on that?
I would say, you know, that comment alone wouldn't have been, you know, if that had been the only sexist comment I had heard over the course of the Olympics, I would not have gotten so upset about it. I think, you know, yeah, there are ways to explain that as maybe a sensible thing to say, but I think taken as a part of a whole cloth that includes, you know, the Chicago Tribune tweet about Corey Cogdell that didn't even mention her name but just mentioned her husband's job, you know, taken with the Andy Murray thing, taken with the U.S. gymnastics team being said that they looked like they were hanging out at a mall, even though these are some of the greatest female athletes in the world, sort of taken as part of that whole environment, the Katinka Hazoo thing does feel damaging because it's sort of saying that all of these women are, you know, have worked incredibly hard and their achievements are being diminished left and right, kind of unthinkingly, which I think is what makes it so harmful.
And listeners, again, we're talking about sexism in the Olympics. If you want to share something you felt while watching the Olympics, if you have a comment, you want to push back maybe, give us a call, 212-433-WNYC. That's 212-433-9692. And speaking about credit given to some of the coaches, there is another swimmer for Team USA, Katie Ledecky. She broke a world record, and there was a lot of credit given to her coach as well. He was an innovator or an inventor, and there's a line in an article in the New York Times, and it says, he used to be an inventor, quote, but he never stopped innovating. His latest project, Katie Ledecky, has thrived under his tinkering, becoming stronger, faster, and more versatile. Going back to you, Gabrielle, I mean, I think all of these moments as individual moments don't stand out, but it's like, you hear the same things coming out from different swimmers from different countries, and everyone's writing the same thing, like, let's look at the coach.
Yeah, I think sort of the way she is being presented there maybe as more of a she is considered more of a product than her coach. I feel like I haven't necessarily seen male swimmers presented in the same way.
And Mike, what do you think? Have you heard similar comments made about some of the male athletes? I mean, there's certainly the case to be made that some of the men are objectified as well.
Well, yeah, there's the objectification, although it's different when it's a man and a woman that we're talking about their bodies, obviously. But, there's a long tradition of calling coaches geniuses or tinkerers or inventors, you know, Bill Walsh of the 49ers and how he would go to his shop and draw up offenses. Oh, wait a minute, this guy's an actual inventor who holds actual patents. So I would maybe call that, you know, perhaps not the greatest turn of phrase, but that's what he was going for. I think Ledecky's been given a lot of credit, and none has been taken away from her. If you want to point out, though, that in general, I haven't done the longitudinal study, that men are portrayed as working with their coaches to change their techniques, and women are portrayed as under the tutelage of a coach, that seems right to me. But, you know, I can't cite 30 examples from these Olympics. In general, you know, if we want to talk about sexism in sports, it's so abundant. The Olympics are this great salve to the idea of sexism, especially the American women who win more medals than the men, who are more, there are more of them on the U.S. Olympics teams. And, you know, the sexism around American female Olympic athletes is probably less than other countries' female athletes and American females in the non-Olympic context. For instance, the women's basketball team are being celebrated because they're winning gold for America, whereas the WNBA kind of can't get a break in terms of, you know, coverage in most local newspapers.
And Gabrielle, you've written a little bit about how watching the Olympics is a little different than watching other sports commentators, just about the way that they present, like, the personal story of the athlete.
I mean, yeah, I can't claim to be sort of a major sports fan. I am someone who checks in, you know, once every 4 years to watch swimming and gymnastics. But I do feel like the experience of kind of watching it all, watching it around the clock, can turn something like these isolated incidents of sexism into something that feels a little bit like a death by a thousand paper cuts. Sort of you're seeing, you know, all these women do amazing things and then being commented on in this way, like the Katie Ledecky headline where she was in the subheadline and for setting a world record, and Michael Phelps was in the main headline for tying for silver. You know, the sort of just experience of watching this and watching it, you know, all day, every day, it can make you go, what do you need to do to get a break? And if these women can't catch a break, you know, what odds do I have?
And at some point, Simone Biles says, I'm not the next Usain Bolt or Michael Phelps. I'm the first Simone Biles.
Yeah.
Yeah. I want to go to caller Josh in Manhattan. You have a question?
Yeah, I mean, I think that there's a larger issue here involved in the Olympic Games that it goes far beyond what narrative you hear through the broadcast. I mean, there are issues that maybe feeds into that narrative. I mean, for instance, beach volleyball. These are amazing athletes. They play a fantastically exciting sport. But, is it really practical for them to wear bikinis? Is that really athletically necessary? Maybe it is. I don't know. But there's clearly an issue there that someone should ask that question as well. And then, you know, the American gymnasts, like, they're fantastic. They're amazing people. Like, nobody could ever do what they did. But they also have this issue where at the end of each competition, they're very concerned about their image, where they're standing, which photographer they're looking at, what they're going to say. I mean, it was almost as if Ali Raisman was leading the team through, you know, what they were going to say, how they were going to hold their thumbs up. And, you know, it was a little awkward, to be completely honest. But
Josh,
I think that these athletes are very pressured into what their image is going to be post-Olympics.
Josh, I'm curious, do you ask the same question about what the male volleyball players wear? Or is it about what they're wearing or what it makes you feel?
No, I think it's, look, I don't mind watching women in bikinis play volleyball. But the question is that really what they should be wearing for that sport? Or is that really more of an image issue to attract attention to that sport?
Gabrielle?
Yes, actually, the volleyball question is interesting because the bikini was considered standard competitive play until, I believe, the 2012 Olympics, standard competitive play wear. Now female volleyball players have the option of a few different outfits, including long sleeves, and a lot of them have opted for the bikinis because they said there is less room for sand to get in the outfit and sort of rub them raw and create an uncomfortable physical situation. Male volleyball players have actually requested to be able to play with their shirts off and were told that they were not allowed to because the judges need to be able to see their name and number clearly.
Okay, I want to go to Kat in Brooklyn. Kat, you're on WNYC. Kat, are you there? No? Okay. Oh, there you are, Kat.
Hi.
Hi. Sorry. You're on WNYC.
At the risk of redundant, I just want to point out that there was, at one point several days ago, NBC cut from coverage of men running the 100-meter qualifying round to finals of to beach volleyball, semifinals maybe, and they talked about the girls playing volleyball. And the announcer sort of cut over this not to talk about the women playing, but rather to talk about the girls brushing sand off of their bodies. And it was just footage for a while of beach volleyball, female beach volleyball players brushing sand off of their bodies as the announcer sort of chuckled about it. But, you know, it's not just one set of announcers. There are, I'm sure, announcers who experience marginalization who are Black or who are female or who are gay, who are as likely to take part in this really problematic announcing that I think a lot of people are expressing frustration with. Jackie, your guess, it really is this like tiny thousand paper cut situation that makes it difficult to really enjoy the Olympics. And as an aside, it makes me wonder whether Gabby Douglas would have gotten such backlash about what Vice President would call probably malarkey about the national anthem had she been a man. doing or not doing whatever that she was, because this has been sort of this stupid controversy, as I see it, has really been whipped up by the news media and the announcers.
All right. Thank you for your call, Kat. Mike, I want to go to you. As we're talking here, there's sort of a developing story of the morning is Ryan Lochte, who apparently has been making the case that, or was saying that he was robbed at gunpoint in Rio, and that apparently is not true. Can you weigh in?
Yeah. First of all, I'll talk a second about what the caller said. The Gabby Douglas stuff was ridiculous, that she didn't seem happy enough. But this is the sport of gymnastics, that it's not just an empirical athletic competition. There's the aesthetic element that all the gymnasts and the entire sport really emphasizes and buys into. But it's ridiculous, obviously, to criticize her for that. But then again, aren't we doing the thing where we're taking like a sub-headline in the Chicago Tribune or what Bo Dietl said? I'm not going to say that if it feels to you like death by a thousand cuts, but I've been watching tons of Olympics and I just see women excelling and women being celebrated for excelling and women, you know, Katie Ledecky is now probably the most well-known women's athlete. I would just say, you know, in total, it's a much more positive and glorious experience. Now, on to the news of the day. Lochte claims that his car, along with a few other U.S. swimmers, was essentially carjacked by fake policemen who held guns to his head. He left the country in advance of the police trying to detain some of these other American swimmers, which they did. They stopped him at the airport, and now the Brazilian authorities have released some tapes and shown that what the swimmers did was trash a bathroom in a gas station, and there doesn't seem to have been the incident that Ryan Lochte said there was. So this is embarrassing, and you want to talk about problematic. I mean, this is like on the long and disreputable tradition of some white people saying some brown people tried to rob them to get out of what they actually did do. And the other thing, and this is, you know, less, this is more sportsy, but the women's 4x100, which is the relay race, once around the track, they dropped a baton, the U.S. women did, and they were either the favorites or maybe the silver medal favorites. Them or the Jamaicans were going to run for the gold. This was in a prelim. But there's an appeal. The Brazilian runner seems to have interfered with Allison Felix as she was handing the baton to English Gardner in the second and third leg. So we've got to see how that appeal goes. So this is a drama in the courts of another kind at the Olympics.
All right, and there's certainly comments that have been made that were racially charged comments and criticisms about Gabby Douglas's hair and things like that. But we wanted to focus a little bit just on the sexism. And Gabrielle, you wanted to respond to something that Mike said about what it feels like to watch, to hear some of the comments, even though I think you agree that in many ways the 2016 Summer Olympics has been positive for women and has really showcased the work of our women athletes.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it's been amazingly positive. And we are making, you know, fantastic progress. I'm, you know, in my 30s, I remember when, you know, the women's soccer team in the 90s, when it was all about, you know, totally, everyone was totally cool with sexually objectifying them or being like, oh, wow, can a woman do that? And, you know, we've definitely come a very long way. But I do, you know, the thing I kept thinking of while watching all this Olympic coverage was, do you remember there was a great female scientist a few years ago whose obituary began with, you know, she made a mean beef stroganoff. And I feel like part of being a woman in this culture, and, you know, not necessarily just watching sports, but watching anything, that all this stuff adds up and you end up just kind of looking around and going, you know, what would I have to do to get as much credit for my accomplishments as a man in the same position would?
And I got to say, the internet has responded, as it does, pretty hilariously to some of these things. How is this for a headline about Michael Phelps? This is in response to one of the female athletes being referred to only by her husband as a football player. Again, headline about Michael Phelps. Congrats, girl. Fiance of former Miss California scoops his 25th medal, a.k.a. if we talked about male Olympians the way we talk about female athletes. Something to think about. I think we're going to leave it there. Gabrielle, Mike, thank you for joining us. Gabrielle Moss is Associate Lifestyle Editor at Bustle, and Mike Pesca is host of Slate's podcast, The Gist. I'm Sarah Gonzalez, filling in for Brian Lehrer. Coming up, hip-hop.